Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you, riding solo again today. We're going to tee up the Thursday night football game here today. Week 11 tips off tonight between the Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. A must-win game for Cincinnati. It is a must-win game for a lot of people in fantasy football as well. So if you have any start or sit questions, we can get to them. Tomorrow is a massive day. I usually have some starter sits today that I'd like to present with you guys for you guys on Thursday. I'm actually going to save that for tomorrow. There's a lot of players that are just questionable to play. And I think tomorrow, once we hear some news on certain players, it'll open up some avenues for some props and for some picks and things like that. So for today, we're going to tee up the Thursday night football game. I got some props that I like for tonight. And tomorrow we'll have a list of start and sits, picks against the spread, and props for the weekend as well. And I will be here with you guys tomorrow. We had some issues last Friday. We'll be with you guys tomorrow. But I wanted to tee up tonight's Thursday night football game between the Bengals and the Ravens. And in fact, there's a lot of props that I actually like for tonight. We've been okay over at FTMBets.com of late. So hopefully we can keep things going here today. If you are watching live, smash the like button. If you're just stumbling across the show, welcome in. We appreciate all the support here at FTN Network. If you can subscribe to our YouTube page, we have a lot of content on our YouTube page. Aaron Schatz is with you guys twice a week. Mike Randall is doing some recaps. He's doing some college basketball stuff. We got Hoops with Noobs for the NBA crew out there. And of course, Dango Batselli already recorded and live on our FTN Network YouTube page as well. Mean Streets is available on iTunes and Spotify. If you could take 2 seconds, rate, review, subscribe, tell a friend, leave a review, give me 1 star. I'll take the 1 stars. What I need to do better, picks better, get some guests, things like that. But riding solo here with you guys, so I appreciate the support and bear with me here as we're going to get going. I want to say what up to the crew as we normally do on Mean Streets. Deesh in the house with the Ty Chandler and Jaylen Warren question in a half point PPR. Already. It does look like Alexander Mattison is going to miss this game. Geez, no rushing touchdowns this season for Mattison. And we saw a rushing touchdown last week for Ty Chandler. This is pretty much the best possible spot for a running back. I know the Broncos defense has been much better over the last 4 weeks, arguably one of the best units. They played Kansas City twice and Josh Allen last week. My rankings have Ty Chandler 2 spots ahead of Warren. And I know that Mike Tomlin came out and said Warren is the starter and Warren this and Warren that, but it's still Najee Harris as well. Like, Najee's not going away. He is the goal line back there, I believe. He is the lead. I think this is a full-on 50-50 split. It's basically been that way the entire time. I just like the matchup a little bit more here for Ty Chandler, and I expect it to be his backfield. I don't expect Myles Gaskin to be that involved on the ground. I don't view Ty Chandler. I think Warren has the higher ceiling. I think he's the better athlete, the better running back. He's shown us a lot of good things this season with his burst and catching balls out of the backfield, but this is a tough spot against Cleveland. It is a really tough matchup. We had the Steelers at +4 in the tracker on Monday. And now hearing, there's no Deshaun Watson, they're almost favorites, Cleveland -1 in most spots to see 1.5. It's a low total game. The total for that game is 32.5. My goodness. And I got to lean to the under. The way that both of these offenses have looked this season, run first for sure on the Pittsburgh side of things. I got to lean with Ty Chandler here, dude, because of the matchup. If you look, I just want to bring up a couple things. I got all these, like, this crazy spreadsheet with certain things, but Denver, so far in the season, they've allowed the most rushing yards per game, the highest quarterback completion percentage against, and again, they've been much better lately. They've allowed the most fantasy points per game to backs at 30 per game. They've also allowed the most fantasy points to tight end, so could be another good day for TJ Hawkinson. And also yards per carry allowed at 5.6, yards per attempt at 7.5, the most points overall allowed per game. And if you look at some of the DVOA statistics over at FTM Bets and FTMFantasy.com, this is the worst rush DVOA defense in all of football. The worst against the pass. The worst overall, worst against the pass, and second worst against the run. But again, they've been much better as of late. So some of those numbers, if you look at the last 4 weeks, you can see some of those numbers kind of turn in a positive direction for the Denver Broncos, right? Surtain is a guy that I think could I don't think we'll see Justin Jefferson in this game. I don't know, though. Again, that's why tomorrow is such a big day. But if there's no Justin Jefferson, Patrick Surtain, you know, dealing with Jordan Addison is not a great spot there. I just wanted to look at some of the defensive DVOA numbers again. I wanted to see if I actually had that right here with the Broncos. Yeah, they are dead last in DVOA and dead last against the pass. And sometimes I do this stuff late at night, so I could easily make a mistake or two. Too many bats. Dead last against the run as well. So it's a good spot for Ty Chandler. We like Ty Chandler on this show. Certainly I was wrong about Ty Chandler because I thought there's a couple things that I thought heading into this season. One, that I didn't believe in Alexander Mattison, that he could be super efficient. He had good games in small sample sizes without Dalvin Cook. And he struggled taking care of the rock to start the season. And I'm sure that the Vikings saw this as well. I wish that they believed in Ty Chandler a little bit more, but they acquired Cam Akers and then Cam Akers went down here and then Ty Chandler's in concussion protocol. Looks like he's doubtful. Looking at a backfield that's really just Ty Chandler's here. And I don't believe he caught any balls last year or last week, but this is something I saw he did in preseason very well. And I thought that he could just cut into Madison. And now we could see him maybe overtake, you know, Madison and take the job here. I think that there's a real possibility that Joshua Dubs leads this team in rushing yards against the Broncos this week, but Ty Chandler, I would expect like 15 plus opportunities. I don't know if we can expect that from Jalen Warren. Still got Najee there sprinkled in. Tough matchup, better fantasy environment for Ty Chandler. So that's where I'm at, Deesh. I would lean with Ty Chandler, and I'll share the projections with you as well, courtesy of FTMFantasy.com and Jeff Ratcliffe, to see if I am on the bats significantly. We have Ty Chandler at 9.8 points in a half point setting. We have Jalen Warren at 9.5. So Rashad White, James Conner, James Ford, Raheem Mostert, Devin Singletary, Ty Chandler, James Cook, Jalen Warren, Najee Harris. We do have Warren a touch ahead of Najee Harris. And I do agree with that. Although I think that Najee, I mean, he continues to find the end zone. I think that he's a guy that could find the end zone again this week. So I lean with Ty in that spot. We'll see if he can rack up 20 plus opportunities. The goal line work's going to be his, right? If they're down in the game, a couple catches, something that he can do. Kyle Woods in the house. Happy Thursday Night Football. Much better matchup this week. Although Chicago D did me right last week, this week and next. Skull. Yeah, last week was pretty good. I thought from a prop standpoint too, we had a really good Thursday. I think we had a really good Monday. All the touchdowns, we called them with Josh Allen rushing and we had, Cortland Sutton. I wish that I had more Cortland Sutton shares this year. Did say that he was the value. Like Jerry Jeudy was going wide receiver 20 and Cortland Sutton was going wide receiver 50. But this is the connection I thought we would see last year. Rust to Cortland Sutton, the accuracy, the deep ball. Cortland Sutton's got what, 6-7 touchdowns on the season. Russ is playing pretty good football. It's nice to see in a year too early, I suppose. But Cortland Sutton and Russ is getting it done, but we had the touchdowns there. We had Dalton Kincaid. So hopefully we can call a couple more here today. Good luck, Kyle, and with all your lineups there. Perk in the house. Welcome in. Got an offer for Patrick Mahomes, T-Law plus Jefferson. Should I accept that? Okay. What's the offer here? You got an offer for Mahomes. So you have Mahomes or you have T-Law and Jefferson. It just kind of helped me out here. It's a lot going on in my world. I should be able to just relay that information, but you get an offer for Mahomes. Like I'm assuming that you got offered Mahomes, but we'll see where you're at and we can address that once you clear that up for me, dude. My apologies there. I did promise some buy lows and some sell highs. Tomorrow is the day. You get some injury reports. We'll have some picks against the spread, some props. We'll start and sit and we'll have some buy low candidates. And they may not even be buy low, just players to try to get. Some of the players have been good lately, like Rashad White has been good lately. Tough spot this week against the Niners. Maybe an opportunity to buy. Maybe the owner is thinking they want to sell, but I like the matchups and I like the usage for Rashad White. So we'll be talking about probably 5 to 6 guys at each position that you can go and get and players to ship away. Trevor Lawrence is one guy that I'd like to ship away. I don't like his matchups moving forward, and he hasn't been that great this season. I don't mind him this week as a low-end quarterback one against the Titans, but he's got some tough matchups moving forward. Off the top of my head, like Brock Purdy's a guy that I want. Jared Goff's a guy that I want. There's some quarterbacks that have some really tough matchups, and Trevor Lawrence is one of those guys. And there was another one that I was looking to acquire too, but I just couldn't do it looking at the matchups. I forget what that was, but tomorrow we'll get after that one. So let me know, Perk, what you got going on there. Let's save the start and sit questions here for a second. Mateo, welcome in. Daily Handle, welcome in. Let's save the start and sit. We'll roll through the schedule. Let's talk about tonight. Let's tee up tonight's football game. Get the 10-minute mark here. We got Baltimore and Cincinnati getting it on tonight. AFC North division rival. Should be a good one. This should be a good game. There's dudes missing on both sides of the football here today. Marlon Humphrey is doubtful to play in this football game. We know T. Higgins is not going to play. And we have a couple others for me. And part of my analysis is Sam Hubbard, I think, is a big loss for the Cincinnati Bengals here today. So let's take a look at the live odds here. We got the game happening in Baltimore, minus 170 on the money line for the Ravens. And I don't think that's moved since this morning. Actually, minus 180 now is the best possible number that you can get if you're backing the Ravens on the money line at Bet365. I do think that they win this football game here today. I lean with Cincinnati covering. I don't know. It's I know Baltimore has had their way with a lot of opponents. They got three losses on the season, but those losses on the season were like kind of fourth quarter collapses. I like this Ravens team quite a bit. Like I think that they're a pretty good bet to win the Super Bowl at 9-1 here. And this number would have been a lot shorter if they didn't collapse last week against Cleveland. But some of their losses this season, I mean, they enter at 7-3, and I look at just some of the losses that they had, and they have been collapses. Like, They've blown some good teams away. There's no question about that. But there was a game against the Steelers where they gave that one up in the fourth quarter, and it was explosive play to George Pickens on the sidelines. They lost to the Colts late as well. There was another explosive play, I believe, in that game to Michael Pittman to a game-winning field goal, I believe, by Indy. It's a couple like turnovers I remember from Lamar Jackson, one in particular in the red zone in that Steelers game to OBJ. I don't even know why they threw that one. And then last week they were up significantly against Cleveland. And I know that there was a weird pick there from Lamar that got deflected at the line of scrimmage. And it was a pick six, but also gave up some explosive plays in the fourth quarter again, more so to David Njoku and Amari Cooper. So they do have three tough losses. I mean, you could make the case that they'd be perfect 10-0 to start the season, but a divisional game here, some desperation on the Cincinnati Bengals side of things, because this is a team that gave it up last week as well to the Texans. And they sit here at 5-4. I mean, all four of these teams inside the AFC North have a chance here to make the playoffs. And this is the graphic that we had earlier in the week. Of course, things have changed just a touch with the Bills losing that football game and being 5-5. But the Bengals on the outside looking in, the Steelers and the Browns and the Ravens there. I've really liked the Ravens to make the playoffs for sure. And I really like where Pittsburgh's at. Offensively, I have some questions, but the rock solid defense. But back to this game here, I would say Baltimore wins. We wanted to take the juice at minus 180. No, in my own pool, pick'em pool, I will be taking Cincinnati +3.5. I just think the divisional game here, And Joe Burrow could do enough maybe to keep this thing close. And, you know, if this is a trend in Baltimore and they're weak fourth quarters, then maybe we get some sort of backdoor cover here. But Joe Burrow isn't tough. This is a Ravens defense that is the best defense in football, number one in total DVOA. And they are number two in defense DVOA, total DVOA on the defensive side of things, number two against the pass, number three against the run. They've allowed 4.7 yards per attempt. It's the best mark in football. They've allowed 15 points per game. It's the best mark in football. From a fantasy football standpoint, this is a tough spot for everybody on the Bengals. They give up the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, 12 per game. So Joe Burrow's in a tough spot here, of course. The fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers, the fifth fewest fantasy points to tight ends, the third lowest quarterback completion percentage to opposing QBs, second fewest yards allowed overall, and the fourth fewest passing yards allowed overall. And on the Bengals side of things, they have been good against the run. Actually, no, they haven't. They've been poor against the run. They've allowed the third most rushing yards overall and the third most yards allowed overall and the eighth most passing yards. So this is a defense that's not playing great football at the moment and will be without Hubbard. And I think that is a big loss. Having said that, I do think that Cincinnati hangs around in this game. I think this is a field goal game, and I think the Ravens will win it. As for props, there are a few that I like here in this game. We'll get to Mixon in just a second there, Mateo. I don't like the spot for him, but there's a few props that I like, and we'll start here with Lamar Jackson and his rushing yard prop at 43.5 at minus 135. Use the prop shop, the parlay calculator over at ftmbets.com. Two free tools can save you a lot of cash and a lot of time. Lamar is not only 7-1 in his career as a starter against the Cincinnati Bengals, he has racked up a ton of rushing yards against this squad. The 43.5 rushing yard prop that he has right now, that's from Caesars. He's topped this in four straight games against Cincinnati and seven of the eight starts he's had against them. Listen to some of these numbers. These are the rushing yard numbers. 54, 58, 88, 97, 2, clearly the outlier, 65, a buck 52, and a buck 19. Those are the first two starts. I think they came in the same year against the Cincinnati Bengals, where he had 119 and 152. That's 74.7 rushing yards per game against Cincinnati in a large sample size of eight. I mentioned Sam Hubbard. I think that's a huge loss for Cincinnati. He's not going to play here. Lamar does lead all quarterbacks in rushing yards this season. If you look at the last few games, 41, 60, 17, 36, 62, 45, 27, 101, 38. He played the Bengals in week two, and he had 54 rushing yards there. So just kind of quick math. I wasn't going to do this because I don't think we should be game log chasing really in the NFL. That's how you can get into trouble. But he has topped the 43.5 in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games this season. So in about half of them. But we have a pretty good sample here of what he's done against the Bengals. And the Bengals really struggling to stop the run, and Hubbard being sidelined in this game is just a significant loss for the Cincinnati Bengals. So we're taking that one, and we're going to jump on Keaton Mitchell here at over 36.5 rushing yards at minus 115. I do believe Harbaugh when he says that he deserves more touches and we got to find a way to ramp up the game. I forget the exact quote from him. It doesn't really matter. It is nice to hear those things on the short week. Sometimes we see a little bit more of a committee. If the team has a couple running backs, they can get out there. Here's the quote, more involved, quote unquote, more involved this week during the Thursday night matchup game against the Bengals. And that is nice to hear, but also his play is speaking for itself. If he is, you know, going to bust a 39-yard touchdown run, and which he had last week, and in week 9, he had two runs of 40 plus yards. He had a long of 60. He racked up 138 yards on 9 carries. Last week, he just had the 3 carries. He got stuffed a couple times, but he did have that 39-yard touchdown run. And he's shown the speed has been on full display. Easy for me to say, but it has been on full display. And it's not to the Devon Achan level, but it's close. He's not getting the same type of usage, but I could see a game here today where the Bengals are among the leaders in rushing yards allowed, the third most rushing yards allowed, the second most yards per carry allowed in the season. Mixing with his explosiveness, we've already seen that he's had 12 carries, 13 carries, and he's got three runs of over this number at 36.5. He's got a 60, he's got a 39, and he's got a 40. So he has shown the explosiveness. The Bengals have given up big runs. They've struggled to stop the run. There's no Sam Hubbard. It really only takes a couple of carries for him to get to this number. But if they decide to turn the page, and I don't think they fully will. I think Gus Edwards is a guy that they like. They can lean on him in the red zone, some pass protection plays as well. But I think it's only a matter of time. I think Keaton Mitchell could be, quote unquote, a league winner. I also view him as a potential sell-high candidate. For example, I have him in my home league, and I can't start him this week. I am starting Dave Montgomery. I am starting Javonte Williams, and I got a couple other players that, like, for example, like I think Daryl Henderson's in a good spot, and I would play him over Keaton Mitchell as well. It's kind of like I need to see the usage. I like that he's trending in the right direction. I like hearing those things from Harbaugh. I certainly like the matchup, but I don't want to play him today if he is just if I could look ahead and see that he only had 5 or 6 carries, I probably still would take this number, but I don't think that I would put him in my starting lineup. I don't think I'm there yet, but I do believe he's a decent sell high candidate if you're okay at the running back position. And I'm trying to sell him in that league because I also have Bijan Robinson there, and I like Robinson's matchup, especially in the playoffs. So moving forward, I'm thinking that I'll have Javonte Williams and Bijan Robinson and also Dave Montgomery. So where does Keaton Mitchell fit in for me? I'd like to bolster, my wide receiver. So I'm trying to do that. And I think, you know, make him available to your league mates. And you could start him as a flex play here. But I like the over 36.5. I think it's a pretty good spot. Sticking with the Ravens. This is from Bet365. I like the 4.5. I think it's like -110. And the prop shop, again, like it's so valuable here. If you just look at Mark Andrews and you type him in as like Google search, it's anywhere from -110 for him to have 5 catches at Caesars and -148 for him to have 5 catches at BetRivers. So there's a wide range here. I don't mind taking that as a single. I wanted to be a little bit conservative here. His receiving yard prop is 55.5 at -143 at Caesars, and I see 59.5 at -114. We have him for 57 yards and 4.9 catches. So this is from Bet365 in the same game parlay milestone reception tab for him to have 4+ receptions and 50+ receiving yards. So this is a good spot for him as well. The Bengals on the season against tight ends, they're allowing 6.1 catches per game to the position and 66.9 receiving yards per game to the position. That's the 4th most yards to tight ends and the 7th most catches to tight ends as well. From a fantasy standpoint, it's a top 5 matchup. We're starting Andrews, right? With confidence, we're playing that game for sure. He's caught 5 of his 8 targets, in week 2 against Cincinnati. He also scored a touchdown, and he's had at least 4 grabs in 8 of his 9 games. It's been the 4.5 I'd lean. Yes, the receiving yards is a bit high. Like, I don't know if he gets to 60. That's why I was a little conservative with this same game parlay. Let's get 4+ catches. And if he can get to 4+ catches, I think he can get to the 50 receiving yard mark. And I think he's a good bet as well to find the end zone. It's not great money here. It's like killing flies. Did you hear that? It was like a little fly. I got scared for a second. Thought it was a spider. I don't do well with spiders. Okay. Don't do well with them. +165 for him to score at any time touchdown over at FanDuel. I got a couple other touchdown calls here for you. So that's the Baltimore side of things. We get the rushing yards at 43.5. We got Keaton Mitchell at over 36.5. We got Mark Andrews at 4+ receptions and 50+ receiving yards at -135. Let's go over to the Cincinnati Bengals side of things. And let's start here with Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd, over 4.5 catches is +118. Over 43.5 receiving yards is -114. We had Tyler Boyd at over 4.5 catches and over 41.5 receiving yards last week against the Texans. Now, this is a much tougher spot, right? And there's no question about that. Last week, though, he hauled in 8 of his 12 targets for 117 yards. Yeah, he had the bad drop inside the red zone. Man, he'd like to have that one back, no question. But there's no T. Higgins here in this game. There was no T. Higgins last week, no T. Higgins this week. But I think we'll see, even though it is a tough spot, normally Marlon Humphrey would be on him. Humphrey would be on him, but he's doubtful in this game. So that's a positive for Tyler Boyd. I think we'll see another 7+ targets. He caught 6 of his 8 targets for 52 yards in week 2 against Baltimore. I'm going to jump on this. I got them separately here, the +118 for 5 grabs. I would lean with the grabs over the receiving yards, but I like both, like the over 43.5 at -114. Sticking with Cincinnati, somebody that has kind of popped up over the last 2 weeks. I'm not game log chasing. I'm just looking at the opportunity. I'm seeing an uptick in snaps. I'm seeing an uptick in routes run. I'm not seeing anything from Irv Smith. I'm seeing T. Higgins out. Tanner Hudson season. Let's go. Over 2.5 catches, -104, and over 20.5 receiving yards at -110. Let's start with just the catches. So the Ravens have been really good against tight ends, but they did have a game a couple weeks ago where they allowed 95 yards and 10 catches plus a tight end to McBride of Arizona. He had 14 targets in that game. Over the last 2 weeks, Hudson has 12 targets, 10 catches, and 78 receiving yards. He's been leaned on here, and I don't think that Joe Mixon will have a ton of success running a football. Like, Joe Mixon doesn't have a ton of success running the football against weak rush defenses. So I believe we'll see Joe Burrow drop. Whether he has a lot of success throwing the football against this defense is one thing, but I believe he's going to drop back and throw the ball like 35 plus times in this game. It's going to be trying to get it out quick. Of course, the defense is going to be honed in on Ja'Marr Chase. It's going to leave some opportunities here for Tanner Hudson and for Tyler Boyd to get it done. Hudson last week, I just looked at the last couple of games from him because I noticed that he's been trending up over the last two, but last week was a good one as well for him. He had 7 targets, 6 grabs, and 33 receiving yards. So I'm going to go with Tanner Hudson here. And these are in order of how I like them. I would go Lamar first, Mitchell second, Andrews. This is the order that I like them. And I know it's a lot of props here. Usually just try to stick to one or two. Some of these Thursday night football games are not the best, but I like all of these. They're all in the bet tracker for me. And let's ride. Let's have a night. These are the touchdowns. These are the touchdowns that I have here. Mark Andrews to score a touchdown. Keaton Mitchell to score a touchdown. I can't ignore the explosiveness on the ground, the big plays that the Bengals have given up, maybe the uptick in usage that we'll see here on a short week. And also, he almost had 2 touchdowns last week. There was a wheel route that he ran in the corner of the end zone, and it was a great throw by Lamar, and I thought he just dropped it. He could easily had a couple scores there. And then for Tyler Boyd, it's easy to come in here with Ja'Marr Chase. And yeah, I mean, if you pick any Bengal on any given Sunday or Thursday or Monday, whatever it is, Ja'Marr Chase is always worth your time and worth your money. But I like Tyler Boyd here. I think a lot of the attention will be on Ja'Marr Chase. And I think that, you know, when they get inside the red zone, if they're near the 5, sure, they can hand it off to Joe Mixon. But I don't believe Joe Mixon is in for a big game here. And let's, now that I'm on it, what's the touchdown prop here for Hudson? Can we get a little long shot Tanner Hudson? I suppose like Gus Edwards run one in from the 1 as well, but I just don't like to bet on that kind of stuff because the Ravens could do all kinds of things. Like Lamar could run it in. We've seen Justice Hill near the goal line. We got Keaton Mitchell in play here. I just don't think it's that big of a lock as what some people may think with Gus Edwards. 5-1 for a Tanner Hudson touchdown here. He's 65-1 for 2. Let's not get carried away. Whoa. Let's not get carried away here. But 5-1 for Tanner Hudson. And I like the props here. And I just saw plus money now. BetMGM is plus 100 for 3 catches for Tanner. And the receiving yard prop is still at 20.5. So those are the touchdown calls here today. Let's see if we can back it up. Not good odds there means for Mark Andrews reception and receiving yards. Yeah. So I've scaled it back a little bit. I don't mind drinking the juice on that one. Jordan, I don't mind a little bit of that. It's the same game parlay. I want to take the 50 and the 4, you know, it's 4.5 catches is around minus 110. If you want to take that, that's fine. 5 grabs, but I don't want to, he's really, really juiced for the, I really don't mind it. And I know that it's minus 130, but the fact that it's minus 130 is because we're scaling it back just a little bit. You know what I mean? Like we're not taking the over 55.5. 55.5 is minus 143. Like that's really, really juice. So we're just looking for 50 plus receiving yards. It's like an alternate line. And then the 4 plus catches. If you just want to take one of the two, it would be the catches. But I think that he's going to rack up 50 receiving yards if he gets 4 grabs. Plus the matchup is good. All right. So you have Mahomes and you were looking, let me get back up here. So you have Mahomes and man, I don't know if I want to do this. It's really nice to get Justin Jefferson and it sounds like he's going to be back in a couple weeks, but what's that rapport look like with him and Dobbs? Is it going to be as nice as him and Kirk? I don't think so. And it is Justin Jefferson after all. It's just not a lock that he's going to be as good. And I just don't want Trevor Lawrence on the squad come playoff time. Here's the schedule, the fantasy schedule for him after this week. I mean, Texans okay, Bengals okay. But here's where we get into issues. And I do not want to start Trevor Lawrence week 14 in Cleveland. Mm-mm. That's a matchup where maybe you need a W. You need a win to get in the playoffs. Your starting quarterback has to go into Cleveland and play this defense. Not good. And then week 15 is against the Ravens. Not good. Week 16 against Tampa, pretty solid, not bad. And week 17 against Carolina, they've actually been okay against the passing quarterback. So it's really the Cleveland and the Baltimore matchups to get into the playoffs and then your first playoff matchup. I don't like it. I would just hang on to Mahomes. And I know like you're getting Jefferson. What other quarterbacks are available? Like, could you flip? Could you just do this and drop Mahomes or drop T-Law, make that move? And then maybe can you get another quarterback? Can you get Sam Howell? Geno Smith is another one that I don't really like the matchups for Geno Smith. Can you get Russ? I like the fact that you could get Justin Jefferson. I really do. Geno's got the Niners and Niners in week 12 and 14 in the middle of that. They get the Cowboys. So he's not a good option either. I don't know, man. I think I would just hang on to Mahomes at the moment, or let me know what quarterbacks are available for you. Maybe you make that move and you just sub out T-Law. And then you got Justin Jefferson, who's a guy that could definitely help you out there moving forward here. Should I start Burrow at Ravens or Fields at Detroit? I would start Fields at Detroit. John Downey in the house here. This is, like I said, I mean, I don't know if you're just joining the show, but Baltimore overall, I mean, these numbers are legit. The fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, 4.7 yards per pass attempt. It's the fewest mark, just 15 points per game without T. Higgins. Fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. Mentioned that the fewest against quarterbacks, third fewest quarterback completion percentage against. The second fewest yards, the fourth fewest passing yards. I'll share our projections. I always want to share projections with people to give like another kind of like point of view, quote unquote. And we have, let's see where we're at here. We got all positions, Tyreek Hill, what a monster. So our quarterback projections are like this: Mahomes, Hurts, Allen, Lamar, Dak, Tua, Stroud, Herbert, Kyler, Howell, Burrow, Fields. I still think I would start Justin Fields, man. And I know that it may seem a bit risky here with the thumb. They've kept him out long enough. He's missed 4 weeks. What he can do on the ground is also a tough matchup, but what he can do on the ground with his legs, I'd like the matchup slightly more. I guess I'm on an island here when it comes to the rankings. Let's look at the consensus rankings. We showed the projections here. The projections say Burrow. I say Justin Fields. Does anybody else have an opinion on the show? They can chime in as well. Love hearing from you guys. Let's go to the rankings and see what the consensus here is at the quarterback position from the crew. We got myself, Mike, Randall, Scott Spratt, Jeremy Pope in here as well. So let's go Burrow. Spratt has Burrow significantly higher than I would imagine. Everybody but me has Joe Burrow ahead of Fields. I'm just going Fields, man. I'm going Fields. I'm taking the rushing upside. That's where I'm at. I only have Love and Ritter next to Mahomes. Yeah, that's tough. I think I would stay, man, with what you got. I just don't like T-Laws. I just really don't like those matchups for him. Ritter, there's just no chance I would ever want to play him. Love is a dart throw this week against the Chargers. You know, as hard as I am on Love, and I really am hard on him from a betting standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint, you know, he's kind of sneaky on the ground. 20, 20, 25, 19. He's had at least 15 fantasy points in every start but two this season. You know, the Chargers this week, Detroit is a tough matchup from a fantasy standpoint. They're giving a lot of fantasy points to wideouts and quarterbacks, but it is a tough matchup. They're really good against the ground on the run. You know, Love will have the Giants week 14. I don't know, man. I think you got to stick with Mahomes. I really do think you got to stick with Mahomes. Thielen is a sit. He was going to be on the list. Tomorrow we're doing starter sits. We'll have several names for you, some buy low candidates. James Hernandez in the house asking about Thielen as sit this week. He's got Godwin, Kirk, Dell, and Amari. Yes, you know, he's been really good, but it's kind of something that we talked about with Jake Seeley on his show this week is teams are really focusing in on Adam Thielen. He's still getting a lot of targets. I mean, he's got double-digit targets in four of his last five games, but the yardage has come down, right? 5 for 29 and 6 for 42. I mean, if you're the Cowboys and you're any defense playing Carolina, they have no run game at all. They don't throw the ball past 10 yards. Bryce Young has got one of the smallest ADOTs, average depth of target, and there's no guys getting separation outside of Adam Thielen. You're just focusing in on Adam Thielen here. You're bracketing him, you're doubling him, you're tripling him, and you're saying, go ahead. You want to throw the ball down the field to Terrace Marshall Jr. You want to throw the ball to Jonathan Mingo. It's just not there. So these matchups that you have, yes, I would be rolling. Amari is, I don't know. Do you have to play him? Do you have somebody else in flex? You can play Godwin. You can play Kirk. You can play Dell. I think that if it was a full point PPR league, I would maybe lean with Thielen over Amari, because what's going on in Cleveland right now is not great. And Porter Jr. looks like a stud. I know that they've given up some big plays to perimeter wide receivers, but I just don't trust the quarterback playing Cleveland. And I don't think they're going to move the football. I mean, we have a total of 33.5 in that game. So I may play Thielen if it was a full PPR league over Amari. The other guys, I would roll out there for sure. You know why I was hesitant? Because Jefferson can be a QB value, a super flex option. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. So it's super flex. You could play JJ in the flex spot there instead of the quarterback. It's not bad. It's not bad. But I just don't think I want T-Law there. Any other questions here before we get going here? Mateo, start two. Mixon, Mostert, White, James Cook, Charbonnet, Harris. Thanks. I would start Mostert for sure, even with Achane coming back here. I'm still playing Mostert against the Raiders. And I still want to play Rashad White, even though it's the 49ers. You got a tough matchup for Mixon, too. But Rashad White is he's catching some balls out of the backfield. Could kind of make up for it there. James Cook is just not started. He's not touching my roster. And I know the matchup against the Jets is okay, but he doesn't get any red zone rushing attempts. He can't take care of the football at the moment. The Bills are just a bloody mess. Do they, with Joe Brady calling the shots, do they lean on the ground game? They should. They should have more methodical drives, run the football, slow the pace down, not have Josh Allen chucking as much. And it's against the Jets. And I'll tell you what, this matchup against the Jets, I got some numbers here. I mean, I wouldn't sit Lamar, or I wouldn't sit Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's last three games against the Jets, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's been sacked 13 times. His last 4 games, his yards per attempt numbers, 5.8, 5.4, 6, and 5.3. His passing yards, 236, 147, 205, and 239. His completion percentage was 70 in the matchup at the start of the season against the Jets. He still lost and threw a bunch of picks. The completion percentage in the previous 3 games, 59, 52, and 53. Like, this is a guy that struggled against the Jets over the past couple of years. And when they get inside the red zone, it's not Cook. You know, it's Josh Allen running the ball, and it's also Latavius Murray, who we've called a couple times for anytime touchdowns. And we never get it. We never get it when we call it. And when I don't bet it, the guy scores. It just like, let me give you the projections. I'll give you the projections, Mateo. Maybe keep your mind at ease here and what we got. So we'll probably have Mixon pretty high. Yeah, we do. We have Mixon at 13.5 fantasy points. We have him as like RB 7 or 8. I think that's a mistake. I would have both Detroit guys over him. I'd have Javonte Williams over him. I'd have Kenneth Walker over him. DeAndre Swift over him. Brian Robinson Jr. over him. Pacheco. I'd even have Pacheco in a tough matchup against the Eagles. I still would. Henry I'd have over. There's a lot of backs I'd have over Joe Mixon. But our projections say the answer to your question is Mixon and Mostert. Mixon and Mostert. And we have Achane aggressively in here in the projections as a top 12 running back. But I still, like, if I had the choice between him and Achane, I'd play Mostert. I get Achane has been really explosive, but Mostert's not going anywhere. He's been good this year. He's been the goal line back for most of the season. Love the matchup. They probably both eat against the Raiders. You can run all over Las Vegas, and they're 11.5 point favorites here. So do they lean on Achane coming back off the knee injury in the second half? Probably not. But I still think he's a decent play. For me personally, in this spot here, I would play Mostert and I would play White. But if you want to play Mixon, he's getting a bulk of the targets, everything out of the backfield, right? One of the highest usage rates, rush percentage, all the goal line work, a few catches here and there. Like, he could rack up a couple catches, but so could White. Yeah, that's where I'm at. Our projections say Mixon and Mostert for you. But I say Mostert and White. And I'm just not there on Charbonnet. I think he's a good stash, and Harris, tough spot too. And we're getting a little bit of a run from Jalen Warren there. Any other questions here before we get going? I think we're gonna get out of here. Just an early look at the rest of the week here. like the Steelers to go into Cleveland and pull off the win. I was on them at +4. I still think the +1, there's some value there. Money line to go into Cleveland in to win the football game. You know, they're getting after the quarterback as well. And Dorian Thompson Robinson, I mean, it's a very small sample size, but I didn't like anything that I saw from him in the game against Baltimore. And I get it, it was the Ravens, but this is a pretty decent defense as well that can get after the quarterback. So I'm not crazy about the Browns this week. So I do like the Steelers. That's a large spread at 13.5. I wish I jumped on the 11.5. I'd say they win by a couple scores here. The Raiders have been good over the past couple of weeks, right? The coaching change, we've seen a spark in their offense. Josh Jacobs has 55 touches over the last 2 weeks. And that's really nice to see if you're a Jacobs owner. And Devontae Adams had a decent game last week against the Jets, but not starting Jacoby Myers. You're starting everybody in Miami, and I think that they win by double-digit points there. This line has moved from 9 to 7.5, I think, with the news that Justin Fields is going to return here, but I don't really think it matters. The Detroit defense is top, near the top in every metric. Really, like the DVOA statistics, they're a top-5 defense. They're strong against the run, top-5 and top-10 against the pass. And, you know, Justin Fields... I would play him as a top 12 quarterback. You've been waiting, you've been stashing him. The only quarterbacks I think that I would play over Justin Fields this week that like maybe borderline, like apart from the studs, right? Like it could be borderline pickups for you and maybe you're uncertain. Like CJ Stroud, Kyler, Sam Howell, Jared Goff. I would play Fields over Joshua Dobbs. It's close to me. I know the Broncos have been much better defensively. And, you know, Mile High is not the easiest place to go in and play a football game. And I think Denver's kind of feeling themselves. That should be a good game. Both teams are feeling pretty good about their play as of late. Washington here, Brian Robinson Jr. It was a dud game when he played the Giants earlier. I had Saquon as a sit last week. This is one that I would play him. And I know I got a lot of pushback. Who the heck are you starting over Saquon? I had like 24 backs ranked ahead of Saquon last week. He had 6 fantasy points against the Cowboys. That's why I'm not in on Thielen. Wouldn't play anybody from Carolina against Dallas. But I think against Washington, maybe it can be a more of a competitive game. He is getting a lot of the work. You know, he can rack up 16, 20 touches here, catch a couple balls out of the backfield, and can be an RB2 for you. But I would move on from Saquon. I would try to get whatever I could. Like, I'd make the flip right now for Henry, for Rashad White. You're not going to get any Detroit running back there. But I would try to move on from Saquon. Terry, I would play a bounce back. I don't think you can trust Jahan Dotson. I just don't know what's going on there. When Curtis Samuel is on the field, Jahan Dotson doesn't get the looks. Gibson's a guy that's been catching some passes out of the backfield. Is a decent PPR flex play, but I don't think they're going to be behind in this game. So if it works out in Washington's favor, Brian Robinson Jr. is getting a like 15-plus carries here, some goal line work. I like him a lot this week. Tennessee and Jacksonville. You know, no Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley, where's he been, man? He's just, he's hard dude to trust, is he not? Christian Kirk's ranked ahead of him. We like Hopkins. Last week I was in on Kyle Phillips, mostly for his props, receptions, and receiving yards. I may dive into him again. He did lead Tennessee in receiving yards and catches last week. It's been mostly 2-minute drill stuff and garbage time stuff for Kyle Phillips. I like to see him get more snaps, kind of live in the 30s over the 30% range over the last 3 weeks. But it's really, you can't play him. It's really risky. Only I'm that crazy to roll him out as a dart throw play in deep formats. And I think we see a bounce back game from ETN, although it is a tough spot. Derrick Henry, you're playing him. You know what? Trevor Lawrence, like, play Brock Purdy over him, Justin Fields over him. And Russell Wilson, I think I would at this point, but Trevor Lawrence hasn't been that great. You can throw on the Titans, so we'll see if he can hook up with some of his weapons deep down the field. Don't really like Ingram in this spot either. The Cowboys, you know, Tony Pollard is definitely a start. I could see why people would be a little hesitant to play Tony Pollard, because when you look at Tony Pollard's games, this guy's been brutal. The Dallas Cowboys too, in terms of rush DVOA offense, these guys are near the bottom 10 in terms of running the rock. How about Tony Pollard? This guy's topped 72 rushing yards once. It came in week 3 against Arizona, 23 for 122. He is 3 for 13 in carries inside the five. He was 3 for 9. Cowboys Nation, man, they came after me hard when I said that Tony Pollard had some goal line issues last season. He was 3 for 9 inside the five last year. He's 3 for 13 inside the five this year. He got stuffed a couple times against the Giants last week. 2 touchdowns all year. Came in one game, and it came week one against the Giants. Last week, he didn't even have a catch. I get it. They blew them out. Carolina is as nice as it can get. They've allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs. From a rushing yard standpoint, this team is inside the top 10 in rushing yards allowed and yards per attempt allowed and points allowed. The third most given up. Their rush DVOA defense is the second worst in all of football. Their total DVOA defense is the second worst in all of football. If Tony Pollard can't figure it out in this game, this week against Carolina, it got to have concerns. I would maybe knock on the door and buy low just because it is a running back getting like 15 plus opportunities and he is explosive through the air. But, you know, the Eagles week 14 is not a great spot. Not bad in the playoffs. Week 15, Baltimore. Week 16, Miami. Detroit, you're in the championship. You figure it out. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot at that point, but it is a tough matchup against Dallas. But if he can't, I don't even mean a touchdown. Like, I need to see more than he hasn't topped 55 rushing yards since week 3. 55, right? This is a guy that everybody was gushing over. Oh, Zeke is gone. He's going to get 25 plus opportunities, usage. He's so good. He's so explosive. And all those things are true, but he's not a bell cow back. Last year had one game with like 20 carries. One. That's it. We can't automatically assume these guys are going to be bell cow running backs because they're given the opportunity. He's never been that back. He was a good change of pace guy. He was a good 1-2 punch with him and Zeke. I think of the Cowboys, if you ask the Cowboys right now, they would love to have Zeke on their roster to bang those in from the one or the two or the three or to get the short yardage situations. I would play Pollard. I have him as a start. Obviously, it seems silly to say, but he hasn't been good. He hasn't had great games. Like, 5, 7, 6. Those are the last 3 fantasy showings for him. He's only topped 8 fantasy points in a half point setting in one of his last 6 games. One of his last 6 games. And he's only topped 15 fantasy points in 2 games. And there were week 1 and week 2. A dart throw is Brandon Cooks. Cooks had a great game last week. It was more so probably the Giants. He's been mostly inconsistent and not existent the entire way. We love Ferguson on this show. Touchdown machine. He's the number 2 option behind CeeDee Lamb. Oh my goodness, CeeDee Lamb is balling out at the moment. Cooks is like a desperation type play. Have him on your roster. Maybe there's an uptick. There's some good matchups moving forward for him. Carolina, Washington next week, but 10 grabs, 9 catches, 173 yards. If there's a time to sell high, it's probably now, but he does have 3 touchdowns over the last 4 games, and he has at least 7 fantasy points. It's Tony Pollard performances. He's at least 7 fantasy points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his last 7. Yeah, that's not ideal. You know, we're calling him a dart throw. Green Bay and LA here. Jordan Love is a desperation play. You know, I feel better about him in a super flex league. Christian Watson not touching my roster. Jaden Reed had a good game last week. You know, Dobbs is finding the end zone. I think Guyton is an okay little flex play kind of guy that you can play this week. Picked up, you know, Palmer's hurt. Quentin Johnson got a touchdown last week, but he's not out there running a ton of routes, playing a lot of snaps, and still pretty raw there. I think Guyton, actually, I would play him over Quentin Johnson. And then, you know, Eckler rolling out. Aaron Jones has been very, very quiet. I would play him. I don't have him ranked as aggressively as some people at FTN and the projections. It just hasn't done a whole lot for me. But I think like a low-end RB2 or a flex play. I mean, we're seeing Dylan get some work as a third down back and 2-minute drill stuff, and I still think he's the goal line back there when push comes to shove. But I do like, rolling out Keenan there for sure. Arizona, I still like Hollywood. He almost scored a touchdown there at the end. McBride, right? Seems like he got something, maybe a potential league winner for you with McBride down the stretch here. Kyler, good first game from him. Had the rushing touchdown. His numbers weren't fantastic, and he didn't run around as much as maybe some people thought he would, but not bad, right? The 6 attempts for 33 yards in his first game off the significant knee injury. Ends up with 15 fantasy points. So below his projection. We had him as like a wait and see type start last week, and I think we were okay in that, but he didn't hurt you if you started him. So this week you like him. You like CJ Stroud on the other side. I just think you play every Texan. Nico Collins plays, you play him. You're playing Tank Dell. I think you play Noah Brown too. Even if Nico Collins plays, I think you play Noah Brown. If Nico Collins doesn't play, you play Noah Brown. But he didn't practice today. He's on the sidelines. So, tomorrow is a big day. So when we hear the practice reports for Friday, we'll have a pretty good idea of who's going to play and who's not going to play. And we'll address the certain sits. But the fact that Noah Brown, 14 targets, 13 grabs, and over 200 receiving yards over the last 2 weeks is too significant to ignore. The way that this offense is cooking right now with C.J. Stroud, and you just play all the weapons inside the offense. And Singletary, I would sell high if you could on last week's performance. That's an outlier game for him. There's no question. But that just goes to show how bad this Bengals team is running the football, right? When we talked off the top of the show with Keaton Mitchell, rushing yard prop, and also Lamar Jackson, Devin Singletary had, like, these were some of the games for Singletary. 9 for 41 is okay. 7 for 25, 12 for 58, 10 for 30, 13 for 26. And then boom, 150. On 30 carries last week. That is going to be an outlier game. Damian Pierce is still not practicing, so this backfield could be his again this week, and the matchup is really good against Arizona. But come playoff time, you know, that the Titans there and the Browns and the Titans again, and then we could see Pierce, you know, sprinkled in at that moment. So I would consider selling high, but if you have him as your RB2 or you're in a tough spot at the running back position, I think he's in a good spot this week to have like another maybe double-digit fantasy point showing. James Conner, you're playing. Hollywood Brown, you're playing. McBride, you're playing. Kyler, you're playing. I'd have Michael Wilson and just like stash him because he's a good young player, still fairly raw. But Kyler there, I liked seeing 6 targets last week. Only caught 3 of them for 34. But I think there's a ceiling there, and I think he's also a good buy low in dynasty leagues as well. Tampa and Sanford also like Houston on the -5 there. Arizona won last week, but they played the Falcons, and the Falcons are just not a great football team. I don't think they're a good football team. I think they're overrated. So I think we'll see Arizona, the reason why they're one of the first worst football teams in the league. That'll stay true this week. Kyler could do some things to get the backdoor cover here, but I like the Texans. I know this line has moved. We talked -4 on the NFL betting show yesterday. You can go back and watch that. You can go watch that one with myself and Randall and Abby Labar. A couple picks there right here on our YouTube page. Tampa and San Fran. San Fran got right. I mean, it's a large number here, but I do like it for the Niners. I mean, you're playing everybody on the San Fran side of things, like Purdy. I really like Purdy a lot moving forward. I mean, he was a guy that we talked a lot about on this show, is going as quarterback 22, 23. Not only did I think he was a great super flex play for you, but I thought that he could flirt with top 12 status at the quarterback position and be a starting quarterback in just standard 1QB leagues. And I still think that, you know, even with the struggles in Cincinnati in week 8, he had 20 fantasy points. He had 24 last week with 3 touchdowns. Debo's the key, man. Debo was there. This guy doesn't turn the ball over. Defenses have to rely on what Debo can do and the end around touchdowns and the bubble screens and all those things. And then you got Ayuk and Kittle that you got to worry about. I really like the matchups for San Fran moving forward. Tampa this week, Seattle week 12, Philly week 13, Seattle week 14, Arizona week 15, tough spot week 16 against Baltimore. That'd be the semifinals for you. You can just swap them out. Maybe this is the time of the year, probably, if you're in a good spot in your standings, to hold 2 quarterbacks, to hold 2 defenses, kind of play some of the matchups and set yourself up here for the playoffs. Are heading into the playoffs anyways. You don't want to be going to the waiver wire for a second quarterback or a second defense. I think this is the time of the year to kind of get it done. Anyways, Purdy, like him this week. I think he's a top 10 quarterback and like some of all of his weapons inside there. You're playing Mike Evans, Godwin. These guys are in tough spots. The Niners have given up some big yardage plays to wide receivers so far this season. If you look at just fantasy points against, top 10 allowed to the wide receiver position. So Evans has had a pretty good year with Baker Mayfield. And I get it, Rashad White's in a tough spot, but a low-end RB2, maybe he catches a couple passes, maybe he falls into the end zone there for you. Kate Otten's a sit. I've seen the uptick for him over the past couple weeks, but the Niners are really good against tight ends. Sounds like Stafford's back this week, right? Cooper Kupp, a top 12 wide receiver, low-end wide receiver one this week. And Puka Nacua is a low-end wide receiver too. I like Darrell Henderson. You know, it's a split backfield there. Royce Freeman has got some red zone usage there. I can't tell you with confidence who the goal line back is inside this offense. I saw Henderson earlier on, and Kyron's still out of this game. And then I saw the last time was like Freeman. So Henderson's ahead of Freeman for me because he's catching balls out of the backfield and Freeman isn't. This should be a pretty good game. I like Seattle to win the game. Jared Goff has struggled against the Seahawks last year and this year early on in the season. But I like Lockett, I like Metcalf. Kenneth Walker has been, you know, he had the long touchdown reception the last time we saw them. He's kind of been inefficient. It looks like a little bit of the Walker towards the end of last year, not being super efficient with the ball, but you can't ignore the opportunities. Really nice to see him get 21 opportunities, the 64-yard reception touchdown. This is something that you can't bank on moving forward, but it's not a bad matchup for Henderson against Seattle, and it's just an okay matchup for Walker, but he did have 12 fantasy points. Actually, no, he only had 8 in the week one matchup, but he had 64 rushing yards. So he probably lives in the 60s again on 15 carries, but you know, he's the goal line back there. You play him and you stash Charbonnet. The Jets and the Bills here, Buffalo. Whew, it's been a rough go for them. Josh Allen, you're playing Diggs, even though it's, you know, Sauce. You just got to play those guys. Gabe Davis, I wouldn't play James Cook. I try to find some other options on the Jets side of things. I'm playing Garrett Wilson. I'm playing Breece Hall. Minnesota, even if there's no JJ, and I don't expect Justin Jefferson to play this week, I still would play Jordan Addison. You're playing Hockenson. Even with Sertan, maybe potentially on Jordan Addison, I still would play him. As a low-end wide receiver 3. Sutton, yes. My goodness, if you can find something else instead of Judy, I would try to do that. Javonte Williams, really, really... Finally, right? Javonte was one of our guys. We talked about being patient. We talked about the training wheels potentially coming off for him, and they came off in week 8 when he had 27 carries for 85 yards and he had 3 catches. Last week, he had 21 carries for 79 yards and he had 4 catches. So this is 48 carries for him over the last 2 games. This is a tough spot. Minnesota's been pretty good against the run, but I would still play him as a top 15 running back. Love the usage and the fact that he has at least 3 catches in 3 straight games and 2 grabs in every game but one. I mean, he's had 3 targets at least in every single game but one as well. And that was the first game back against the Chiefs where he had the injury and he just didn't get a ton of work. It was 10 for 52. He looked good, but he didn't get any targets. This is a guy that got a lot of targets at the start of the season before he went down as well with Russ. So I like Javonte Williams where he's at. And we talked about Ty Chandler off the top of the show in a really good spot against the Broncos. Backfield's his. As for the Eagles and the Chiefs, I mean, you're playing everybody on the Philly side of things. It still would play Pacheco, even though the Eagles have only allowed 60 rushing yards per game to running backs and only 12 fantasy points per game to the running back position as well, which is the 2 of the top spots. The Eagles got a good rush defense. They had a good rush defense last year. Pacheco had some nice moments in the Super Bowl. He can bust one. He can score a rushing touchdown for you. He's a low-end RB2. I like Swift as a high-end, low-end running back 1. You're playing AJ, you're playing Devontae, you're playing Travis Kelce. The one guy that I like is Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice is a guy that we've talked a lot about here. Like, for example, I would play Rashee Rice over, I almost said Adam Thielen. I'm kind of there. I know it's a risky play. There's a little bit more safety in Thielen, but I would play him over Jerry Jeudy. I'd play him over any Packers wide receiver. I would play him over Jacoby Myers. I'd play him over Amari Cooper. George Pickens, I'm not starting. I would play Rashee Rice over him. I play Rashee Rice over Brennan Cooks. I play Rashee Rice over Jahan Dotson, any Giants wide receiver. I think I would play Ridley over Rashee Rice, but it's really close for me. And Rashee Rice, last time we saw him, wasn't great, but he had a touchdown. He's got 4 on the season. The Eagles are the worst against wide receivers, and I don't really know why. I mean, they got Slay and they got Bradbury. It's a new defensive coordinator. They've given up some big plays, 39 fantasy points per game allowed to the wide receiver position. A lot of attention is going to be on Travis Kelce and doing what they can to slow him down. I don't think they'll be able to. I'd say he ends up with like 6 or 7 grabs and 75 plus receiving yards and probably finds the end zone. But Rashee Rice, I think, is a good bet to score a touchdown, is a good bet to maybe rack up 4 or 5 catches here. He's one of the leaders in yards after the catch as well. So I am in on Rashee Rice. What else do we have? Anything else? I would play Lockett, Daniel in the house. I would play Lockett over Addison this week. Yes, I would do it. I like the matchup a little bit more for him. So let me just look. If you're still hanging around, I always want to share the projections with people as well, just to give them, you know, a little bit of a different feel and I don't know, kind of like the stamp of approval, maybe another opinion. Let's see. I would imagine, I know my rankings have Lockett ahead of Jordan Addison. Yeah, we have Lockett for 11.3 fantasy points and Jordan Addison for 10.4. So we'll see what happens there. I don't expect to see Justin Jefferson this week. I want to look at the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool because I do believe we will see Surtain on Addison if there's no JJ, right? Surtain, for the most part, he has moved around a little bit. We talked about that. He moved around with Diggs. We talked about the one game he had against Adams where he traveled and he moved around. And if there's no Justin Jefferson, you know, you gotta worry about Jordan Addison. So right now, wide receiver cornerback matchup tool has Surtain on Justin Jefferson. And KJ Osborne, if he's good to go, he's going to be in the slot. They're moving Addison around quite a bit, 44% of the time on the right side, 23% in the slot, 32% on the left side. But Surtain moves around a lot as well, 54% on the right and then 42% on the left. McMillan's going to stay in the slot. 95% of his snaps are in the slot there. So they could move. I'll say this. If Justin Jefferson plays, I would play Addison over Lockett. And if Justin Jefferson doesn't play, I would play Lockett over Addison. And I know that may seem weird to people. Well, what do you mean? You get more targets, more usage. It's the Surtain effect, right? Surtain would be on Addison. If JJ's playing, Surtain's going to be on JJ, and it'll leave some soft coverage there for Addison. But right now, I'm leaning towards JJ not playing, and I'd go with Lockett there. Would you start Gibson this week as a super flex option? If your options were Ridder and Love, I would play Love over Gibson. I'm not sure what your other options are there, but I would play Love over Gibson. Give me the quarterback against the Chargers. They've had a weak defense this season. He's got some sneakiness to him. I think there's a higher ceiling for the quarterback play in Jordan Love to rack up maybe 17, 18 points. As for Gibson, I don't know. Has he done that this season? He's also questionable. Didn't practice today due to a toe injury. He's had double-digit fantasy points in back-to-back games. He's catching a lot of passes, right? He's got three straight games with five-plus grabs, and he's got 16 targets over those last three games. But those are games where they played from behind a little bit. They played from behind against the Eagles, played from behind against the Seahawks. So I'm not there. I'm not there at all. Omalon in the house. We're just getting out of here, dude. Got speaking of trade deadline, is there any buy low better than Chris Olave, second in air yards? I'm thinking of making a massive offer in one league. What's too much? Let's be honest with the people here, Mike. There's not one league where you don't have Chris Olave. Come on. You got to have Chris Olave. You got to have 90% of shares of Chris Olave. I actually don't think that he is a massive buy low candidate. I think that he is what he is. He's a wide receiver too. I know a lot of people wanted to make a case for him to be a top 10 wide receiver. He's been fine. He's got touchdowns in back-to-back games, which is nice to see. And I just don't think that anybody is, I don't think anybody's selling, and I don't think he should sell. I think if you have him, you keep him. Michael Thomas is hurt again. He's week to week. Who's stepping up outside of Chris Olave? If you can get him, sure. I just don't feel, I know you're being tongue in cheek here, but I don't think that anybody's selling after the last two performances has been two of his better ones. He was quiet. Like, it was a great time to buy low in between week 4 and 5, where we had 9 fantasy points combined, week 7, 9, and week 8, 7 fantasy points. But the targets, I mean, he last year was among the leaders in air yards. You know, he's not hauling in a lot of that. Part of that's the quarterback play. Part of it's on him as well. You know, a couple of years ago, we saw Cortland Sutton top 5 in air yards and average depth of target, but he wasn't hauling in any of those catches. You know, when you have a high ADOT like that, it's sometimes hard for the quarterback to hook up with some of these wide receivers. But yeah, if you can get him out of the bye, Atlanta, Detroit, Carolina, come playoff time, you got the Giants there along with the Rams and the Bucks. Some really good matchups. The volume's going to be there. I'm trying to think of what wide receivers for you, it would be any of them. You'd sell any of these wide receivers, some wide receivers that maybe, I don't know, have been good over the last 4 weeks that you can go and flip. Like, I would trade Adam Thielen for him. It's been a couple dud performances from Thielen, and I think teams are just not getting fooled anymore. I would definitely keep CeeDee Lamb. He's been hot. Amon-Ra, you're keeping. I would, I would maybe trade more for DJ Moore for him, even though Fields is coming back. That's pretty good. Michael Pittman, I could see myself trading Michael Pittman, although he's been pretty money too. I don't know. It's probably like a sideways move. Jordan Addison, could you flip Addison for Chris Olave? That's a move that I would make, you know, with Justin Jefferson coming back. You could do something like that. Amari Cooper, nobody wants Amari Cooper now with Watson gone for the rest of the season. But yeah, Chris Olave over the last 4 weeks, he's a top 12 wide receiver. So it's going to be pretty tough to sell or to buy. Tank Dell, I mean, I'd like to hold on to Tank Dell, but the last 2 weeks have been awesome for him. But, you know, when Nico Collins comes back, cuts in a little bit. So maybe you could trade Tank Dell for him. But yeah, I mean, Chris Olave is a pretty good buy. If you can get yourself Chris Olave, you'd be well on your way. All right, we're going to get out of here, guys. Good luck tonight, Thursday night football. I see some people that are jumping in here again. We've gone a little long here. Tomorrow we'll have some starter sits with some of the practice reports. We'll have picks against the spread. We'll have some props of some DFS plays here for tonight. This is what we got going here. We got Lamar Jackson over 43.5 rushing yards. We talked about Lamar is 7-1 as a starter against the Cincinnati Bengals. And Lamar Jackson is averaging 74 rushing yards per game against Cincinnati. No Sam Hubbard tonight is a huge loss. And Lamar, these are his rushing yard totals against Cincinnati. By the way, leads the NFL in rushing yards. 54, 58, 88, 97, 2. 65, 152, and 119. So he's cleared this number pretty easily. We got Keaton Mitchell there, who last week had a 39-yard touchdown run. In week 9, he had 2 runs of 40-plus yards, 60, a long of 60. The Bengals have allowed the third most rushing yards per game and the second most yards per carry, some big explosive runs. I'm not there yet starting him, but he can do this on a couple of touches. And we have heard coach speak about Keaton Mitchell getting a little bit more run. And when you look that good, I mean, why wouldn't you give the guy a little bit more run? Jordan Allen didn't like this. Too much juice for Mark Andrews, but this is an alternate number here. If you just want to take the over 4.5 catches at -110, that would be it for me. I don't want to take the over 55.5 at -150. So I've brought it back a little bit to 4+ grabs and 50+ receiving yards for Mark Andrews. A top matchup here against the Bengals. The Bengals have allowed 6.1 catches and 66.9 receiving yards per game to the tight end position. That's the second most catches to tight ends and the fourth most yards. And we did see Andrews 5 grabs on 8 targets in week 2 and a touchdown he scored. Those are the Ravens props. As for the Bengals, 4.5 catches +118 for Tyler Boyd and over 43.5 receiving yards. Normally he would see Marlon Humphrey in this spot, but no Humphrey. He's doubtful. And Boyd last week, 12 targets, 8 catches, 117 yards. No T. Higgins again here tonight. Tougher matchup for sure, but 7+ targets. Don't expect a lot of success from Joe Mixon running the football. 6 of 8 for 52 yards is what Boyd had in week 2 against Baltimore. So I like the receiving yard prop there as well. This may feel like a little bit of a dart throw or game log chasing here in Tanner Hudson, over 2.5 catches at -104 and over 20.5 receiving yards at -110 for Tanner. Ravens have been good against tight ends, but McBride, 95 yards, 14 targets and 10 grabs and a touchdown against the Ravens not too long ago. And over the last 2 weeks, I've seen an uptick in snaps and usage rate and routes run and just looks from Joe Burrow. Hudson has 12 targets, 10 grabs, and 78 receiving yards over the last 2 weeks. And here are the touchdown calls for me. Mark Andrews, Keaton Mitchell, and Tyler Boyd. I think Tanner Hudson's a decent little dart throw at 5-1. And we did joke about the 64-1, 2 scores there. Michael Milan, are you joking? Are you joking? He's not joking. He's serious. One more here from Kyle Woods. Just picked up DTR as a speculative ad in Superflex. Had to let go of Roshan. When Herbert and Kyron come off IR, I will need to let some guys go. Goddard, Gainwell, Downs. Starting Herbert soon. Yeah, just a spec ad. I don't think you're ever going to want to start DTR. Yeah, I mean, Gainwell, right? Gainwell's the guy to drop. You kind of need an injury there. Swift's been pretty good, and he's got a bulk of the work. And I would say that the drop is Gainwell of those guys. And I would keep Dallas Goedert because it sounds like he could be back in a couple of weeks. He's got the top 5 upside at the tight end position. At least we're not hearing about Taysom Hill Mikey O. No Taysom Hill talk for you today. And it's too bad that I am playing you in the home league, and it's too bad that you didn't have Taysom Hill against me, because I really would have liked to see Taysom Hill up against me this week. We're out of here, guys. Good luck tonight. Enjoy the football game. Ravens win by a field goal. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Cheers.